I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
The billionaires don't want you to vote this year. We'll send you a message that's loud and clear, that the votes can't be counted in your community. Why even register? Don't waste your energy.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick at therickssmithshow.com. So all of this stuff's coming out of Georgia, coming out of Ohio, all of the Russia, all of this stuff. Lots to talk about, which is why we've asked our good friend Greg Palast, investigative reporter, author, filmmaker of the recently released movie The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Wow, I just love your show, Rick. And I like that little history of the labor history. I want the whole theory.
No, well, the laborhistory2.com, we have a couple of years worth there. Here's the thing. I mean, we look at what happened. The big news yesterday, the woman in Georgia, leaked this thing that basically tell us what we already knew. There's just so much to this. And what's frustrating is there's still people who go, I don't care.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, we now know that the Russians were actually trying to hack the machines. Before, I didn't really take much notice of this Russia stuff, because Donald Trump didn't win the election, and it wasn't Russia. It was the fact that they used massive, massive new vote trickery in Michigan, in Wisconsin, in Ohio, North Carolina, Arizona, to basically, they use a cute term, suppress the vote. Hey, Rick, if someone steals your card, you say, someone suppressed my car. No, they stole your car. They stole votes by the hundreds of thousands. And if you know Greg Palast, you know my work. That's one of the things I investigate for BBC. And this investigation actually was for Rolling Stone magazine. And we found that the GOP was using the new computerized techniques to make sure that the voters of the wrong color, that is blue voters, which are also black, Latino, and Asian American voters, don't get to vote because their ballots come out blue Democratic. And I don't care about that. I'm not a front guy for the Democratic Party. My God, they have their sins. But people should be allowed to vote for whom they want, no matter their color. We're re-litigating the civil rights movement of a half century ago. And this is the problem here. And now, yesterday, you had the release of a document by a courageous whistleblower. And this whole thing of arresting whistleblowers from Chelsea Manning, WikiLeaks documents, et cetera, this is horrible. But we had a courageous whistleblower willing to go to jail to get out the information that the Russians were trying to actually hack the voting machines themselves. But they got a lot of help. And this is the sick thing. You ready for this, Rick?
Hit me.
I did a story from Columbus, Ohio, the big swing state, just before the November election, days before. I was in a judge's chambers. I was allowed to come in as a journalist, and where I heard Republican county and state officials say that, yes, they had turned off the software that detects hacking, attempts to hack the voting machine. Now, the new electronic voting machines I know are scary, because it's like we call them push and pray machines. We push the button and pray that they actually record the vote.
Right.
But the newer machines can be very sophisticated, and they have, and the ones used in Ohio, for example, the new ones, have a mechanism that keeps an image, a photo image of each ballot in sequence so that you know if something's missing. It also has detection software that says if anyone tries to break in or change something outside those voting hours, it would signal it and record a computer log system. It's not that sophisticated, but it tells you if someone made an attempt to hack or did hack the machine. And this stuff was turned off.
And what was the rationale? What was the rationale for turning it off, Greg? I mean, there had to be a reason.
It is the my mouth dropped. I mean, because I'm not big on this stuff that there's a lot of electronic vote theft, but I have to say my jaw dropped. And their excuse was, if we turned it on, there would be chaos, and it would be expensive. And it's like, you have to understand, I looked at the program. It's like, when you turn on the electronic voting machines in Ohio, and many other states have the same systems, you have to make choices. It's a menu, you know, where you get to choose if you want. Do you want the anti-hacking software on or off? Yes, no. Do you want the security of a photo record of the ballots on or off? That's all. You push a button, on, off. And they said that they couldn't push that button. It would cause chaos.
That's chaos.
Well, it only caused chaos if there were hacks to the vote or messing around with the vote. Why would that cause any chaos, and why would it cost any money?
Yeah, crazy. But what do you say to the person?
Yeah, well, it's crazy unless they are basically inviting a hack. That's the problem. In other words, a lot of the vote theft that I've uncovered in my career in the past 17 years covering this story of vote manipulation often is what I call vulture opportunism. People don't actually overtly steal votes. They just let the votes get stolen. They let it happen. And this is another case. Well, okay, we'll leave these. Okay, we're not going to rob the bank, but we're just going to tape the combination to the safe, to the door of the bank.
We'll leave the keys in the lock. We'll leave the keys in the night box for you.
You know, it's like, really? Really?
Let me ask you this. So is this a case of, in your opinion, is this a case of just people who don't know what they're doing? Because, you know, a lot of elections people, you know, they want to do what's right, but they're not really the brightest bulbs in the box. Or is this a nefarious thing where people are going, yes, I want my team to win, so this is where we're going?
The guy who is Secretary of State in charge of the vote in Ohio, for example, the guy named John Houston, he makes Catherine Harris look like Thomas Jefferson in high heels. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. They know exactly. They're not stupid at all. In fact, Donald Trump has just put in charge of investigating vote fraud a guy named Chris Kobach. Which is, by the way, much, you know, he made this guy, Chris Kobach, who's the Secretary of State of Kansas. He's in charge of voting in Kansas. But it's like making Al Capone, putting him in charge of investigating the mafia. This guy is a master vote dealer. There's no question about it. And he went to Harvard and Yale and Oxford. These guys are not stupid. They know what they're doing. The little old lady who tells you your name is missing from the voter rolls behind the desk, she's not stupid, but she doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know why your name is missing. The people in those offices, they don't know, or they do know, and they're scared to say a damn thing. That's how I get a lot of my inside information. By the way, this is Greg Palast. I won't give away your name, but if you were inside a voting office and you're listening to this, in the Secretary of State office, you've got some documents or some information I should have, please go to gregpalast.com. Contact Greg. We love whistleblowers. Please, especially with documents, we will do anything to keep your name concealed. This material will be, I'll then put it in Rolling Stone or on BBC television. So please give me, if you got something that really disturbs you, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you see all these stories, there's a lot of disturbing stuff going on. And while the Russians may not have been hacking into, because look, I'm told that you can't hack these machines because they're not hooked up to the internet. So to say that that we can hack into them, you know, what do you mean by that?
Well, okay, so in Ohio, I was with the great attorney, voting rights attorney, Robert Trake, professor at Columbus State. And as he noted, we had pictures of computers for some reason that were connected to the internet. They do that so the machines can be updated. And then so at some point they do get connected to the internet, which is dangerous stuff, or Bluetooth. The other is, but that's.
Hold on. They can be hooked up via Wi-Fi?
Yeah, they want to update the machines, you know, which makes complete sense. But again, if you have this problem where they've got someone's credentials, this is what the report in The Intercept yesterday, because I read the entire report, and it's all about what they call, the gimmick called phishing, where, you know, is a dancing girl, click on her, and you get the and suddenly your computer seized. So we do have those problems. But I have to tell you, the main way that they do steal elections is not even through the computers, it's through the voting machine. Most people that lose their vote didn't get to vote in the first place. They remove their names from the voter rolls. And that's the real way that you steal hundreds of thousands, even, you know, a billion votes. That's what I was finding in my investigations for the Guardian and BBC and now Rolling Stone.
Which is why Kobach is such an important figure in this, him in this cross-check system that they're trying to implement across the country.
Yes, let me just fill people in who don't hear this term. What the heck is cross-check? A cross-check, if you remember, we got this president, Agent Orange, Mr. Trump, who claimed that 3 million people were registered to vote twice in the same election, double registered to vote twice in the same election in two different states. So Rick Smith would be registered in Ohio, and there they find a Rick Smith or Richard Smith in Georgia, and they say, aha, it's got to be the same voter voting twice. And so they cross-check the voter registration of different states. They'll cross-check Ohio against Georgia and against Virginia, et cetera. Now, 3 million people, Donald? Now, the New York Times and the other mainstream press have said this is nonsense, it's a lie, it's not true. But they're missing the story. It's not about lie or nonsense. It's not a joke. They actually created a list of what they call 3.6 million people who voted twice. They actually have a list. It's 7.2 million names, right? 7 million names, that is, which they claim are 3 million voters voting twice. Who's on this list? Well, guys like Jose Hernandez, James Brown, Maria Hernandez, David Kim, David Lee. In other words, what they did was they took common ethnic names and found out that people with common ethnic names, believe it or not, there's a James Brown who voted in Detroit and a James Brown who voted in Ohio, and a James Brown that voted in Georgia, and they say it's all the same guy. I can't make this up. It's really. Now, how do I know this? Because, Rick, I'm the only reporter, believe it or not, in the United States who actually said, give me the list. They wouldn't give it to me at first, but I'm an investigative reporter. If you see my film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, or read my Rolling Stone article, I got the list. And that's all it is the first and last name match. That's it. And on that basis, they've been removing hundreds of thousands of voters from the voter roll.
Let me ask you this, though, Greg, because since you brought up, you know, Ohio, I grew up in Ohio, and when I moved to Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I was actually registered in both states. Now, I only voted in Pennsylvania. So isn't this all kind of the fact that you go, we got all these people who are registered all over the place? That doesn't mean just because they're registered in two places that they actually voted in both of those places, does it?
That's correct. In fact, the number of people who've been arrested for voting twice in the past 10 years, that literally involves billions of votes. We've voted many times in the last decade. There have been no more than 9 people, not 3 million, 9 at most. And I've scoured the records to find them. Georgia's gone through this total purge, burning down their voter rolls before this special election in Georgia between John Ossoff and Karen Handel, this runoff race in Georgia. They've just completely drained the voter rolls of people with common names. And using this cross-check system. And yes, a lot of people are people who have simply moved. And you don't vote twice. How many people move from their state and send a note to their Secretary of State saying, by the way, I've moved to California. I just did that. And please take my registration off the roll. But what they do is you're still liable to getting your registration X'd out, getting purged off the voter rolls. Because what they'll do is, here's the gimmick. They send a postcard to you at both addresses, even if you are, in fact, the same voter, just voting in one place. And if you don't respond to that postcard, they can throw you off the voter rolls. But it's like a piece of junk mail.
Right.
And we know, they know very well. First of all, if you use common names, you're getting ethnic names. 85 out of 100 of the 100 most common names in America are minority names. Like Washington and Lee and Chung and Wong and Hernandez. But even the people like yourself who vote, and myself, who move state to state, if I don't respond to this postcard, why should I lose my vote? I mean, I've legitimately moved. I've never voted twice. It's easy to figure out if someone's moved because you put in a change of address at the post office and you may change your driver's license. Why are they doing this? They know how to remove people safely, effectively, and accurately, but they don't want to do it safely, effectively, and accurately. They want to get those voters that they don't like, and especially sending out a postcard, just so you understand, it's a simple thing. Suburbanites who've lived in the same house, white, upper-middle-class suburbanites, will get their postcard and are likely to return it. Students, poor people, unemployed people, low-income people who are moving around apartment to apartment, moving states for look for a job. They don't get their cards, or they're unlikely to fill them out. So it's a gimmick. Why are we asking people like Jose Hernandez if they, you know, prove you're not Jose Hernandez of Florida if you're voting in Georgia? What is that about? But this is the type of trick that they're pulling, and the mainstream media is missing it. They're simply saying Trump is crazy by saying they're illegal voters. The problem is, Rick, they're using this as a cover to remove legal voters. And that's what I'm uncovering for Rolling Stone. And just, they don't want to talk about this in the mainstream media because we have this wonderful myth. As Joe Biden said, the American electoral system is the envy of the world because Joe Biden's never been anywhere but Kazakhstan.
But here's the thing. I mean, you go back and look, we want the shiny stuff. So Russia, you know, we're attracted to the idea that, you know, we could make the argument that Trump won because of Russia. You're saying basically it was just, as I said, it was the voter fraud. It was all of the voter ID laws. It was all of the purging, the caging, you name it. It was all that really gave him the election. But the Russia stuff is there, too.
Well, yeah. And you know, look, most of the Russia stuff, you know, it's ugly. It's nasty. But it's hard to really claim if you're in Pennsylvania that people in Pittsburgh voted for Donald Trump because the Russians revealed John Podesta's emails. Remember, that's the accusation that they hacked the DNC emails, John Podesta and Claire Wasserman Schultz. Most people in Pittsburgh don't know who John Podesta is, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't bother learning. And that didn't really affect the vote very much. Let's be honest. But the main thing is this messing with the actual voter rolls. That's the serious stuff. In Wisconsin, Brennan Spencer estimated 300,000 people, most overwhelmingly students and non-drivers, who are low-income people, people without a car, couldn't vote. 300,000 people were blocked. Trump won that by 20,000.
Yep.
Michigan. I was in Michigan, and I was in Michigan right after the vote. Trump wins by 10,700. If you go to gregpalace.com, you can see my report there from Michigan. And Trump won by 10,700, but 75,000 ballots were never counted in Detroit and Flint because they have paper ballots, but they're with their optical scan read ballots. The machine reads the ballots. Their machines, 87 machines broke down in Detroit, 87, and that led to 75,355, the exact ballots never counted. In Detroit, were those Trump ballots? That's seven times Trump's plurality. Come on, guys, who won Michigan? We know. Who won Wisconsin? It was not just the ID laws. In Michigan, they're also using the system cross-check. Come on. We know who won, and it wasn't Donald Trump. And I'm not talking about the popular vote. I'm talking about in these key states. But that's what we should be looking at. The Russian thing is, you know, I mean, obviously we should be investigating mischief by a foreign power in our election. That's not small stuff, but that's not how they broke into the bank.
Right. So why aren't we hearing this from the Clinton camp? Why aren't there voices out there outside of you, me, handful of other folks who are saying, look, this is where the real theft was?
I can't account. You know, look, the Democratic Party, and I'm going to be blunt, has Jim Crow and Gene. The Democratic Party, not the Republicans, who invented Jim Crow to keep black people from voting, all kinds of trickery. And it's very hard to get out of that mode. And I'm being blunt about it. I mean, one of the things, for example, in Michigan, Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, paid what people called it a recount, but it's not really a recount. In Michigan, it was counting those 75,000 ballots that were never counted. And Jill Stein paid to have them counted. But Trump's lawyers came in and said, Jill Stein can't have these ballots counted. Because she can't, no matter how many times you count them, she can't win. Only Hillary Clinton can demand a counting of those uncounted ballots. And Hillary's lawyers were sitting there in the courtroom, and the judge asked them, so what say Secretary Clinton? And the lawyer said, well, we're just here to observe. Clinton allowed those votes. And those are votes of black voters out of Detroit and Flint. She just threw, you know, she didn't care whether those votes got counted. The Democratic Party goes to the black community every 2 and 4 years and says, give us your vote because otherwise you'll get this ugly guy with, you know, you'll get this ugly guy with orange hair or some other scare tactic. And, but they don't care whether those votes, you know, most of the time they will not stand up for those votes because they're afraid if they stand up for the black vote that they'll lose more white voters.
Yeah, good point.
That's so, really the key issue.
You're right.
They are afraid.
So last question I've got for you then. You know, what do we do? What do people do? You know, because look, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. You know, what do we do now? I mean, there was a great March for Truth this past weekend. Should there be a march for the true vote? What should be done?
How about a march to the polls? Look, they can't steal all the votes all the time, Rick. And you just have to assume a 5% steal. You got to win by 56%, not 51%. So one, flood them out, overwhelm them. Don't get discouraged from voting. In fact, make sure that you bring 5 more people with you. They steal 6 million votes nationally in a presidential election. That was my count. Bobby Kennedy and I did a calculation for Rolling Stone, and it was about 6 million votes. And so bring 7 million of your best friends to vote. I mean, that's one. Number two, get informed. Listen to Rick Smith and take notes. Go to gregpalace.com. Watch my movie. Unstupid yourself. Don't let them throw you the garbage. And get angry, get active. That's how, you know, Martin Luther King got the Voting Rights Act, not because he had voting power, because he didn't. That was the whole point. Black folk did not have the vote. And they got it by, as you say, by marching, by intense pressure nationally on politicians where they had power, by screaming bloody murder and by getting out the fact that people were not allowed to vote. And we've got to go back to basically a new voting rights movement. It will be marching. It will be writing letters. It will be voting and getting other people to vote. It will be getting angry and getting active. I don't know any other solution. That's how it's always been.
There you go. I like it. Get unstupid yourself. Good stuff, Greg. Always great talk with you. I look forward to having you back again real soon.
Thank you very much, Rick. You're the best.
Bye. Anytime. Good friend, Greg Palace. Again, gregpalace.com. The movie, a must-see. Great stuff. You can follow him at Greg Palace, at Greg_Palace. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.